You're listening to the Hamilton Today podcast from 900 CHML.
It's been over 6 months since Russia invaded Ukraine. And, you know, things started to lull for a while in the last several weeks. And it seems in the last little while that Ukraine is recapturing some of the territory that it had lost earlier to Russia. This has also enabled them to ask for more and ask for more reinforcement to, you know, signaling that they are getting the job done and they just need more help. To talk more about all of this and what the future holds and an update of where we are now, Orel Brown is with us, Professor of International Relations, Senior Member of the Monk School of Global Affairs at the University of Toronto, and with us now. Orel, thank you for the time. I hope you're well.
Thank you.
So we hear that Ukraine is making gains. We hear that they have some retaken some area, some territory that was previously lost to Russia. What does this signal? What does this say to you, Orel?
It is an indelible and urgent message. And it's a kind of trifurcated message. It is one that is meant for the Russians. It is also meant for the people of Ukraine. And it is also directed at Western allies that have been helping Ukraine.
So with this success, obviously, does that bolster the chances of getting more backup, more ammunition, more of the military infrastructure they need to continue?
It would certainly make sense to do that, because what the government of President Zelensky has demonstrated is that against all odds, they have not only stopped the Russians, but they demonstrated a capacity through grit and through imaginative planning to push the Russians back. To give us an idea of how significant this is, the amount of territory that they have taken back from the Russians is roughly the size of Lebanon. Hmm. Now, this is not a vast amount when you compare it to the territory of Russia itself, but it is not insignificant. And the fact that the Russian military just collapsed, they literally ran away, indicates the vulnerability of the Russian military, how deeply the corruption has seized that military, and that if the Ukrainian forces are properly equipped, they can do the job. They're not asking for Western forces to go to Ukraine, fight, and die for them. They are willing to defend their own land, but the message is that they need the tools, they need the weapons that are used now so effectively, but they need a great deal more. And in some of the capitals in Europe, there was some wavering. The Germans have been extremely slow in providing aid despite positive rhetoric. The Biden administration was more forthcoming, but even they had slow-walked things often. And the foreign minister of Latvia remarked rather bitterly in the wake of this magnificent victory that had the Western allies provided the necessary armaments earlier, perhaps much could have been done sooner. And of course, that implied that many more lives might have been saved.
So are allies listening and providing more, Arl?
The Biden administration has declared that they are providing more. And so we'll have to see how quickly they follow through. Some of the weapons that they provided, the HIMARS, these are the rockets that have a range of anywhere from 50 miles upwards. They have been used by the Ukrainians to hit depots, to hit concentrations of equipment and of troops in the case of the Russians. The Germans are making promises again, but they're also having conversations. Macron has spoken to Vladimir Putin. The German Chancellor, Olaf Scholz, has spoken to Vladimir Putin. And one cannot help but wonder, since none of these talks, none of them have yielded anything so far positive, why are they doing this instead of upping the support for Ukraine, which would fulfill their own promises? This is what they said they would do. Why are they not doing it? And that's kind of puzzling.
Some are looking at this as Russia used to be, or and still claims to be, a superpower, and yet can't finish the job in Ukraine. Is that because they're unable to at this point, or because they don't want to deal with the repercussions of ramping this up?
Given what the Russians' assaults have looked like, where they have violated just about every rule of law, the kind of rules that exist in Yuzhbelo have been ignored in their breach, if you like, by the Russians, where civilians are targeted constantly, where there's mounting evidence of war crimes. It's hard to imagine that they've held back. What exactly have they held back? And so it seems that the mighty Red Army and the successor is not 10 feet tall, that when they are challenged, they don't perform particularly well against a determined enemy that is defending its homeland. And this reversal also sends this crucial message that whereas in the past, it was this myth that whatever Russian military forces held could never be given back. Hmm. Well, they're giving it back now, and they certainly are not doing so voluntarily.
R.L. Brown with us, professor of international relations and a senior member of the Monk School of Global Affairs at the University of Toronto. R.L., always, thanks so much for the time and be well.
Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for listening to the Hamilton Today podcast. You can listen to the show live weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on 900 CHML and online at 900CHML.com.